Due to some sexual content, parental discretion is advised.
Throwing behind his man, and that is intercepted. Picked off by J.J. Wilcox.
He thought Zach Miller was just going to pivot at the spot he was coming out of the break. Instead, Miller goes to the outside.
You suck!
Well, I mean, we hope to improve every week, you know, and I think in both phases. I mean, you know, we're doing a pretty good job of stopping the run defensively. That doesn't mean we're going to go to sleep at the wheel on the passing game or pass defense. Same thing on offense. You know, I think, you know, it starts. You always try to be two-dimensional, meaning run and pass. Any successful offense tries that. And we'll continue to try to improve in that area as well. But, you know, a lot of teams start with the run. I can't say everybody does. But, you know, I think the run game's a quarterback's best friend, and usually your quarterback is where all your passing game starts.
Cheers, Bears fans! This is Bears 100 Proof. That was Bears head coach John Fox talking about improving his offense, his defense, his sex life, the whole thing. I am Aldo Gandia, and with me is the smartest man in the barroom, Shane Marsaw, and draft doctor Phil Atoshin. Shane, I gotta start with you. How is your son, Riley?
He's doing better. He's a little sore, but typical six-year-old. Thinks he can jump off the swings at their highest point, and he didn't stick the landing very well. He did with his elbow. But no broken bones, and he's back to having a bottle rocket up his ass 24/7. So we got to try to slow him down a little bit. He's got to take it a little bit easy. But I appreciate all the well wishes from you guys and even all the people on Twitter that reached out to me to ask how he is doing. But that's the life of being a dad with a six-year-old boy. You kind of run into some unforeseen circumstances like that, and sometimes you got to go spend your entire night in the ER hoping for good news, and we got some.
Well, your girl was thinking about you all that time too.
Yeah, Lauren.
Shane, your beer mug is so big.
Phil, how you doing, brother?
What was your name? Lauren, you said?
I think in theory that her name was Lauren, yeah.
Does she like Nutella?
Oh, yeah, she does.
Is her last name Cox?
I don't think I ever got her last name. I usually don't. I just try to, you know, get the first name. That's all that matters.
Shane, I'm telling your wife.
All right, Phil, how you doing, brother?
I'm doing all right. A little worn down. I was, you know, fired up from last night's show, Aldo.
Yeah,
we got into it there. You know, I kind of stayed up late into the night thinking about what avenues we need to go to fix this, and I only keep coming up with one way to go. Let's hashtag this.
Let me guess.
Yeah! Fire!
Well, it's interesting that you say that because I've pulled some sound bites from today's press conference. There was a number of people talking in front of the media today, and one of them was Dow Loggins. And so, you know, the media is so freaking polite here in Chicago for some reason. You know, it's not like in New York or most of the places out east where they would be firing very direct questions at the coaching staff about things. And everybody is like on, you know, they're afraid they're going to get kicked out of Hallis Hall or something. But anyway, Dow Loggins was asked about what kind of defensive fronts that he was seeing. And it's clear that he's being evasive on some answers and not being totally honest. But I also found a little bit of honesty from him. And so I put in a sound effect here when he said something that was total bullshit and something when he said the truth. Let's see here.
They were dropping A a lot. We got into a lot of that. They wanted to zone us. And that's kind of happened the last two or three weeks. You know, a thing that's emergent of Kendall Wright playing well early, Tariq Cohen, some of the tight ends doing some things differently, playing zone, keeping the ball in front of them. Every time you watch a game, there's throws that you go back or decisions, and you're like, hey, Mike, we got to be better here. We got to be better there.
Why do you think that's emerging as a game plan against you guys, and like specifically the dropping coverage, dropping against you?
I think it's the emergence of we're throwing the ball inside the numbers pretty well with the tight ends. You know, and I don't know the teams like respect us enough right now to say, hey, they can put a 12-play drive together and go score on us, and we'll bleed them out, see if they'll make a mistake.
That's indeed what is happening. Teams' defenses are not respecting Mike Glennon at quarterback. Shane, what are your thoughts?
Well, I think he did enough to win, right, guys? I mean, isn't that the
wow?
Isn't that the motto these days up at Alice Hall? I mean, I sit back and I try to. You guys know me well enough at this point that I try to look at some things from a different angle to try to get into these guys' heads to see possibly what they can be thinking. And I just, honestly, I think it's at the point right now where they know they're so full of shit, they're just running out of bullshit to spew, because there's nobody on planet Earth at this point that doesn't know what move should be made and what
Mike
is the best.
Mike Brez. Mike.
Your buddy Mike Brez?
Mike. Yeah, though, yeah,
this is Coach Fox. We got a new hire here. He's head of public relations for Mike Glennon. His name's Michael Brez. Like welcome. He's in the back of the room.
We're going to have you and Mike on the show and have a dual debate with you two guys.
Yeah, there you go. A little back and forth between Atoshin and Brez. There you go.
That would be fun.
But I don't understand why they're – what the weight is at this point. I know really from Jump Street, I said it's going to be a four-game audition for Mike Glennon. And I listened to you guys last night and Phil saying that, you know, it's the conservative move to wait until Monday Night Football, and I really agree. I mean, what do you have to lose at this point? I mean, you're going against the biggest rival in the history of your franchise on national television, and you're putting a quote unquote
statuesque
quarterback. Thanks, you know, thank you, Mike Tomlin, for that name for Mr. Glennon, but you're putting him out there, and you're essentially ruining your best two weapons on offense in Jordan Howard and Tariq Cohen, because it just shows how talented those two guys are to be able to actually produce with, you know, this. I don't even know what you want to call him. I mean, he's nothing more than a backup quarterback, like Phil said, just a spot starter that can get you through a couple of quarters, you know, in case of injury. Dowell Loggett, I think maybe he's under a mandate just to kind of say as little as possible. And it really seems, you know, John Fox has that market cornered, and I think it's funneling down to Dowell. And There's no way, guys, that they don't know what has to be done at this point. I don't know. The more and more I think about it, the more and more frustrated I get. And I got to keep on reminding myself that we did just beat the Pittsburgh Steelers. And unfortunately, Mike, our quarterback, is playing so bad, it kind of takes away from the big win, because I'm still hyper-focused on the quarterback situation.
Phil, I've got a Dowell Loggett soundbite here I want you to listen to and then respond to. The question from the reporter is included on this.
When Tommy Lee dropped 7 and 8 players into coverage, is there any counter to that with the personnel you have that allows you to still throw the ball deep?
It's hard. It becomes a challenge because they're keeping everything in front of you, and they're saying, "Okay, Mike, you know, can you be patient enough to take the check down and take the underneath stuff until you get a chance to take the shot?" And the second 16, big play, Zach Miller catching that seam ball. Like, we finally got an opportunity to push it down the field. Mike was aggressive. That led to points. And second 16, to overcome that, we're putting Mike in too many of those situations with holding calls and false starts. And we had to clean that stuff up. But well, he was aggressive when he had a chance to take those shots. He did.
No, he didn't. I think that Dowell Dowell's that kid on Christmas that's 17 and still believes in Santa.
Yo, and ho, 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 motherfucker.
That's the problem here. I mean, he's double talking out of the side of his. It's almost like he wants to believe his bullshit, because as a coach, you're recognizing it. And you know, we talk all the time, the three of us, through private messaging and what have you, and conversation. The guy is a nervous wreck. You know, there's a lot of pressure on being a quarterback, let alone as we talked about. And I really said this, guys. I'm not making this up. It's on record that you can go back and listen to Bears Barroom Radio. They're all there. I said the quarterback in Chicago is a different beast above all else. We saw what happened with Cutler. We've listed all the names. I got some great stuff planned to show you the history of the quarterback position in Chicago and what a clown show it is. And really, you got to perform. And if he's out there and you saw what transpired, despite Mike Glennon, your team was able to get a victory against a formidable opponent. It's still early in the season. The Steelers could be a 7-win team, and we don't know right now. That's the thing about football. What I see about the Bears is they got a great defense and a great running game. And when Kyle Long came back into the game, now all of a sudden we're really running the football here. So I'm listening to Dowell talk about, yeah, you can't win games with 100. You know, many with 100-yard passing. He fails to talk about receivers being open and him not seeing them. He fails to talk about the fact that he didn't try but twice to go downfield. You're applauding the one NFL pass that he had, and at the same time, you're recognizing that defenses aren't threatened by you and your quarterback. Well, if I'm an offensive coordinator, I'm going to take offense to that. They're not afraid of us. Why not? Because the quarterback sucks.
You suck!
If he came out there and said, as I said before, listen, this position's tough. Mike needs to play better. Mike has to be able to read coverages and not make those errors. That's why he's here, because he and we thought he would give us the best chance to win. And right now, Mike's got to take it upon himself to not only play better, but to play more confidently. Because watching a young player look at a guy that's pissing down his leg is not comparable to Aaron Rodgers learning from fucking Brett Favre, okay? Brett Favre was a goddamn man. He was a fucking... I hated the guy, but at the same time, I respected the shit out of him, because no matter what the score was, the Bears could have been up 3 touchdowns. And you're with 7 minutes to go, and you're still a nervous fucking wreck because Brett Favre could do it. And that's the truth. So all you little nugget wisdomers out there talking about, yeah, see, you could sit behind. No, you sit behind a Hall of Famer, first ballot Hall of Famer, who's gritting and showing you he's banged up and injured and coming out there and practicing every day and showing you what it is to be an animal at the position. And then there's Mike Glennon, who Shane just completely gave a better praise than I can ever do of the guy. He is average at worst. On his best day, he's average on his best. If that's okay, he did enough to win, and that's what you're selling this fan base, a lie that you could sit up there. Not only did Dowell say it, and I believe Shane's right. This is like we're meeting as coaches to go lie to the media and the fans. Like, we have a plan. And once you get to that point as a franchise and as a staff, forget the franchise. Once you get to that point as a staff, you're playing politics and not worried about winning football games. Because as I said, you got nothing to lose. You got all to gain, because that's the face of the franchise. You're playing your division rival, your most heated rival, the oldest rival in the history of the NFL. Go out there and let this kid learn on the job, because he's not learning by listening to a play call. All right, Mike, we're going to run 2-24, fake counter sweep, toss, fake, reverse. You're going to have to step up in the pocket. Okay, Mike? Mike goes out there, toss, fakes the reverse, stands around and gets sacked. Oh, I learned a lot today, guys, from Mike. No. You get out on the football field. You saw the play, hey. Shane. I mean, what is he doing? He just stood there. Hey, I can't make it up.
You want to know one thing that Dowell didn't say in his presser that I kind of picked up on is Bears scored 3 touchdowns on Sunday. Jordan Howard ran 2 in, and they had the little 2-yard pass to Adam Shaheen. Well, on 2 of those scoring drives, Dowell Loggins, the offensive coordinator, thought so little of Mike Glennon, he never attempted a pass on either of those drives.
Exactly. Did they attempt
a
pass?
Not a single. No.
In overtime, Shane, with the game on the line.
Well, here's Dowell Loggins. He was asked about will Glennon ever get synchronicity with his wide receivers or something like that. The question is in here.
What gives you confidence that Mike can really get in sync with his receivers and open up the passing game?
Long
Mike's
pause.
Doing exactly what he needs to do to win games, and that's what he has to keep doing. We're not going to create things. If it's not there, he's not going to take it. He's going to check it down because we got really good guys to check it down to. And what we talk about with Mike is be aggressive as you can in the timing of the play and taking care of the football and, you know, getting us to the fourth quarter. We knew going this game, we got to get it to the end. And we'll win it in the very end, just like we tried to do against Atlanta. And all 3 phases, special teams, defense, offense did it. And it came down to overtime, 4 runs, and we get the ball in the end zone and beat a really good football team. And a lot of credit, Mike, is based on wins and losses. And he won last game.
Shut the fuck up. God!
If that game versus Pittsburgh was Mike Glennon being aggressive, can you imagine what a conservative game for Mike Glennon would be like?
I mean, are you kidding me?
What is he gonna do? Throw the ball backwards? I don't. How do you get?
Fuck this shit, I'm out.
It's a bullshit factory at this point, guys. I think.
Holy bullshit! I didn't even hear that comment till now.
You look like a snake.
Yes.
What?
Yeah.
That was my people. That was my honest reaction. Never heard that quote. I didn't get to have the pleasure of hearing Dowell today, Aldo. My God.
Yeah. It was a beauty.
Just be happy you didn't hear Jim Miller say that.
My God, I forgot to pull
Mitch Trubisky could sit out 2018 also.
Ready? Let's reenact it. I'm going to be the host.
Okay.
Shane is going to be Jim Miller. So, Jim, I mean, we're looking at this game, and yeah, the Bears were able to pull it off, but aren't you concerned about Mike Glennon? You know, they didn't even throw the ball really well to any receivers. I think he hit one receiver. And really, do you think it's time for Trubisky to come in to really spark this offense and build as the new face of the franchise, Jim?
No. I want extra mayo. Extra mayo on that. And 2 jelly donuts. Oh, geez, we're talking about football. Sorry, I was putting in my putting in my food order.
Oh, Shane.
Yeah, it's just, I don't know, Phil. You're going to give me a friggin' grabber just thinking about it, because I get all day, like I said. We talked about this a little bit with each other, guys. It's, you know, you're at a low point with the Tampa game, and it really makes you step back and look at the whole roster, and then you end up being overly negative with the whole thing, and nobody thought that we were going to beat Pittsburgh, and we pull out a crazy win, and it lifts your spirit so much. But it was a crazy Victory Monday for me, because I'm sitting there and I'm like, hey, you know, we beat Pittsburgh, you know, you got to start someplace. And then as the day went on, I just started to get more pissed just thinking about it, just because of the fucking quarterback position. And then you hear John Fox come out there and say the same. I mean, it's like they make up a script of bullshit and hand it out at Hallis Hall and says, all right, we're going to need you to just kind of just stay the course here. And, you know, he did enough. We got the win. We're going to rely on our defense. We're going to pull it out at the end. When Mike has the shots, he's going to take it. He's going to be aggressive. You know, he wins pre-snap. And it's craziness at this point. It's just they're they're spinning in the mud, and they're at this point, Phil, I think you brought this up a long time ago. At this point, they're really talking down to their fans. I mean, ChicagoBears.com, their Twitter feed tonight is tweeting out pictures of Mike Glennon saying this is Mike Glennon making his Lambeau Field debut. Well, who the fuck cares? I'm a Bears fan, and I could give two shits about Mike Glennon making his – I mean, promote your fucking running backs. Promote Jordan Howard. Promote Tariq Cohen is making his Lambeau debut. You know, your young ascending defense is going to go up and try to take over Lambeau. What the fuck? They're trying to force feed bullshit even on their Twitter feed.
It's unbelievable.
Mike Glennon, it's...
Now, let me ask you, though, Shane, because I don't think the fan knew what we were reenacting. Jim Miller said what now? Because I'm a little disappointed that Aldo fumbled the snap here.
I believe he was on the score. I think it was Dan Durkin. Uh-huh. If the listeners want to just search his timeline, I believe he ended up having the quote saying that Durkin said that he had to kind of giggle when Jim Miller said, well, you know, maybe Mike Glennon is the starter into 2018 and Mitchell Trubisky sits for 2 years while he's learning on the sidelines.
You need to shut the fuck up.
Jesus Christ. If that really exists,
the world is flat.
That happens. If that happens, I'm going back to my son's swing, and I'm going to do a header off that thing head first. You know, that's how I'm going to land. But, no, I mean, Jim Miller was on, I forget exactly what podcast it was today, and they asked him, you know, point blank, what he thought of Mike Glennon. His first words, I thought Mike Glennon played well. He's got to play better, but I thought he played well. He did just enough to win.
Are you serious?
And I'm like, what? Jesus Christ. It's just these people are going out of their way. Like I said, they're going out of their way to, you know, it's like having your son take a test and he gets a 12 on it out of 100. And you're like, well, you know, at least you didn't get a 9. You know, it's craziness.
Let me say this. You know, Shane, I'm looking at this game and I'm watching the tape. And I want your honest answer here. You know, there was a lot of critics with the draft. Tariq Cohen from a small black college. Shaheen, who had a touchdown in there. Small school. They drafted the quarterback. Why'd they draft the quarterback, Shane, when they had Mike Glennon? You remember all this perspective and criticism we got for standing up and saying,
oh,
he got his guys? I thought Shaheen blocked well. I thought he took a step forward.
I don't know if I'd call it well. It's better than what he was doing. I mean, it's
that's
a step
what I'm
up.
Saying. He took a step forward. Yeah. He efforted to the whistle. Tariq Cohen is explosive. It's something for Shaheen to build on. We know what Tariq Cohen is. I mean, that one play is completely shut down early. He actually steps, breaks the tackle, goes backside on it. I mean, they're running out of the I formation, running a straight old ISO play. We used to call it heavy left. He cuts all the way back on the back. That's how instinctive this guy is. So let me ask.
He's leaving first round linebackers. You know, making them look like UDFAs.
Exactly.
It really is a testament to the kid. And yet, you bring up Ryan Pace's draft, and I tweeted out to Matt Miller earlier this afternoon asking him if he had any updates on his high level NFL executive that just so happened to seek Matt Miller from Bleacher Report out immediately after the draft and said that Ryan Pace just got fired with this draft. And it's just, you know, everybody knows the Matt Miller game at this point, but it's even with these other guys, Phil, we all know this. It's all going to rest on number 10, how he shows out, but you can't complain one, but if there's anybody that we can kill a little bit right now in this draft, it's going to be Shaheen, but I think it was such a high pick. But we all know if there's any position other than quarterback where you got to kind of show some patience. It's tight end. And it doesn't matter if you're a tight end coming out of USC or Alabama or, you know, UCLA in the first round. This kid came out of Ashland. Tight ends start to make their move a little bit in year two, and it's normally year three. And Adam Shaheen has played three games, and he's got a touchdown. Yes, it was only a two-yard touchdown. Yes, he was wide open. But you want to see these baby steps. You want to – It's a brick-by-brick thing.
Dial Loggins did talk about Shaheen today and said that he's really impressed with the week-to-week improvement, particularly in blocking, and he loves that kind of nasty edge that he brings to his assignments, and said that in time he will start to show his athleticism as a pass catcher. Now, regarding that Jim Miller comment, it was on the Spiegel and Parkins show on the Score Sports Radio, and I'm not sure I found the exact comment, but listen to this. It's definitely worthy of discussion.
But I will ask you again, who's starting Thursday for the Chicago Bears?
Yeah, Mike Glennon, but who's better? Okay.
Well, right now, Mike Glennon gives them the best opportunity to win. And it will declare itself.
Fuck you. No,
what if they had a guy who was mobile and could make really good, strong throws on the run, like, I don't know, Mitch, when they did the play actions? You know, like, what if at some point, doesn't John Fox look over and say, I think I might have a better chance to win with that guy? That's what I'm wondering.
Maybe that is true. Physically, maybe that's the case. But is he ready to manage situations? Is he ready to get down when he needs to? Can he read all the blitzes that we mentioned?
But you said yourself you thought that he could have executed the game plan from yesterday.
I think he would have been capable of doing that. I think he would have been capable of doing that.
If he could execute that game plan and that game plan was good enough to win and he's more talented physically, then...
No, I think it's different for every situation. You're not kicking the can
Come on, Jim.
He has done nothing to justify pulling him right now.
He's done nothing. He's done nothing.
Completed one pass to a receiver yesterday and had 101 yards of passing.
So from your coaching experience, that's good enough.
My eyeballs tell me that
he's not a very talented quarterback with upside. And if the Bears aren't winning anything this year, with regardless of who's at quarterback, once I've made the determination,
but that's not the way they're thinking about it.
I don't care.
All right, so it goes on and on. I can't find the exact moment where he claims that Glennon could be the starter in 2018. Hole. Yeah, he really is. He really is.
Holy. Him and Dahl and John at a party must be a goddamn shit show. If there's no Jordan Howard in yesterday and Sunday's game, do the Bears win?
Fuck no. No.
Okay, that's the point. That's what fans need to understand. The real champion, the real heart and soul was that kid's motivation to play hurt and to play through it and to give 110% of himself to this team. I think without him in the game, Tariq Cohen doesn't do what he does, and Mike Glennon can't hand off and dink and dunk and really win us that game, Dowell.
The biggest, technically not the biggest play, but the one big play that people are going to look back at this game in a couple of years. They're going to remember Marcus Cooper and his bullshit running down and throttling down right before the goal line. And, you know, I tweeted out that YouTube video of him with the pick six last year and doing the same thing in Arizona, but he actually did score. And that's just it's something that's just instilled in a guy like that, and I want to bring it up because if you go back and you look back at the Tariq Cohen run that he actually got called out of bounds for, but he scored a touchdown and everybody thought that was the walk-off, who was the one guy running down there the entire time with Tariq Cohen? Yeah, it was Adam Shaheen running. I mean, what was it? It was a 73-yard touchdown run, and our tight end was down there getting ready to make blocks if needed.
Right.
So I don't want to just bypass that and say, yeah, the kid's got stuff to work on, but it's little hustle plays like that matter, that he's never going to get called out for and never going to get praised for by 99% of fans. Coaches will pick up on that, you know, we'll pick up on that because we're going to put in the time and look at the all 22 and the coaches tape and pick up on little things like that. But I just wanted to give him his props there because that was one thing that really did stick out to me.
Absolutely. He deserved those props. And, you know, and I like the fact that the kid's got an edge and we're starting to see that more and more. And like you said, Shane, you know, he came from a small school, a small environment, the big city of lights have intimidated him a little bit, but he seems to be getting into his own. And I expect, you know, I wouldn't be at all surprised if he has a bust out game at Green Bay, similar to what Leonard Floyd did a year ago. Regarding that all 22 film, Shane, you mentioned earlier that you saw Kendall Wright wide open on a play. Can you share that story?
Yeah, I got, I'm just looking through my notes here. It's just, we were talking about it a little bit before, and it's not just Kendall Wright, and I know Phil's going to go through some more stuff and put up some video, because there's been a lot of people coming at us on Twitter. People that don't want to give any negativity towards Mike Glennon, and they want to blame everything on the wide receivers. And I sent out a tweet tonight just talking about how Mike Glennon himself as a quarterback is a much bigger issue than the Chicago Bears wide receiver corps. And the narrative that these guys aren't getting open, it's not true, Aldo. I said that one play to Kendall Wright, you could see the frustration on the kid's face. I mean, the camera wasn't right up on him, but he threw his hands up in the air, and you could literally see him say, you know, what do I got to do? You know, I'm 17 yards downfield, and our fucking quarterback he's not even going to look my way because he's so scared. And it's not just Kendall Wright. I mean, it's Marcus Wheaton, it's Zach Miller a couple of times, and he's just so focused on dumping the ball off in these predetermined reads and in these checkdowns. And I mean, like you said, it's limiting the entire offense. Yes, this wide receiver core, we've seen it with Josh Bellamy, we've seen it with Deontay Thompson, we've seen it with Zach Miller's had some drops. Marcus Wheaton had two drops the other day. But still, if you're not going to give them a chance to make a play, I don't know what you're going to do. I mean, we know that this margin for error is so razor thin, but there's one person on this team that's making it that way, and it's Mike Glennon. I don't know what else to say.
Yeah, you look at it and you look back on Matt Barkley, and we didn't know what we had with him. And here's a guy anticipating open receivers. That's not what you're seeing with Mike Glennon. He doesn't anticipate well. He anticipates the rush coming on. And you know what? That supersedes his ability to extend the play. You know,
yeah, he's dropping the ball to run instead of looking downfield to throw. Kick it!
But the point really is made by Shane. I'm not making this up. I'm looking at tape, and I'm seeing a quarterback that doesn't feel comfortable at the mesh point. When you look at Ben Roethlisberger, step back. He gets the ball in the belly of the running back, pulls it out, pushes that hand forward, looks at the running back. He's not afraid. The Bears' offensive line might be better than the Steelers' offensive line. And Ben is standing in there, looking downfield, coming to his second and third read. Mike has one read. If it's not there, he's looking to dump. He's turning around. He doesn't even put the ball in the pocket. He's nervous as hell. The one deep ball he threw to Wheaton, it probably should have been caught, and it was an interference call. It still should have been further out. This arm that he had, it just seems to be held back by the windup and the inability to process information quickly.
Yeah.
It's taking so long that receivers are now crossing into coverage when you're going up against a zone scheme. So when you imagine this, okay, guys, I'm going to go on the virtual reality chalkboard here. real quick. Timing, whether it be in a shotgun or from under center, on a three-step drop, is plant, know the read based on the coverage pre-snap. That's why Mike Glennon wins at pre-snap. That's why they talk about that. So he's going to recognize that there's cover three and that the corners are going to play off. So basically the receiver is going to have to make the read. Are they going to go out? Is he going to run a slant? Is he going to run a deep in based on the play call? Mike knows this based on what he saw pre-snap. So on his third step, he's recognizing that they're playing off. The receiver is either going to hitch or run a slant. So Mike's got to see, turns his head, and throws to the spot where the receiver's supposed to go on that third step. He's not doing that. He's getting the third step. He's patting the ball. He's winding up. Things are thrown behind. So that's why this is a big sham to me. Because if you watch the other quarterback who lost the game, he's throwing anticipation. He's getting the ball to where it's supposed to be. And the Bears defense really stepped up. So the story could have been completely different if Kyle Fuller and Prince Amukamara and our boy Cooper don't make these plays on the ball, because Ben was putting it exactly where it should be. Yeah. And that's the difference. It really is the difference in the game. Your running game and your defense saved you the game, because your special teams, although they had a block, decided to be foolish and do the taunt, and that's how you go. But there's receivers wide open. And one other point that really no one's making is the offensive line has to be on pins and needles, because you're concerned about his well-being and his ability to actually recognize when to step up and when to use the blocking to appropriately help your football team. So he becomes a liability to those guys that are busting their ass up front, because his feel and pocket awareness, Aldo, is so disgusting. It's like somebody supporting racial injustices. It's if you support
Draft Dr. Phil, keeping it 100.
If you support racial injustices, you're all for Mike Glennon's pocket awareness. That's all I see right now.
That's awesome. Hey, fellas, before I want to throw a little curveball at you before we start talking about Packers, because this is Packer week. Do our bear up, bear down sequence?
Sure.
Sounds good.
That's it.
Oh. Yeah.
Take it, Phil. Take it.
Yeah. And you don't stop. Bear up, bear down. And you don't stop. Bear up, bear down.
I love it. I love it. Well done, brother.
It's coming up with hooks here.
Very cool. All right, so we're going to spin the bottle and see who goes first with their bear. Should we start bear down or bear up?
You can just let Phil. I went first last time, and I don't want to steal Phil's guy again for the second week in a row, so you can let him go first.
Sounds good to me. Phil, who do you have as your bear up?
Without a doubt, this is the Bears 100 proof, always telling the truth show. We keep it real in 100. That's why it's 100 proof. Right, Aldo?
I love that. Yes, sir.
I would be fumbling the ball or looking like Mike Glennon in the pocket if I didn't have my bear up of the week. I'm standing up. I'm not kneeling down right now for this. Number 24, Jordan Howard. God bless your heart and soul, young man. I am so proud to be a Bears fan because of that young man. And I honestly am thinking about buying my sons a jersey, and that would be the guy. I mean, what kind of effort and toughness. Everything that you grew up loving, this great game, America's game right here. Walter Payton. all of it coming out on that field to really overcome your quarterback, your head coach, your offensive coordinator. Jordan Howard put the team on his back, carried it into the end zone, and God, what a feeling. You know, as I totally agree with Shane earlier in the show saying the win was tremendous, but the quarterback just left that dagger right in your heart for Packer week in Mike Glennon. So Jordan Howard, bear up of the week, definitely.
Jordan Howard, you are Philatotian's bear up player of the week. And now we turn our attention to the smartest man in the barroom, Mr. Shane Marsaw.
Can you give him a little music, please?
Oh, of course we can.
Yeah.
I'm not going to rap, though.
So. I thought you were going to drop some bars for Raul.
Yeah. I'll take a pass on that. I'll just get right to it. I think, well, Phil took the obvious guy, and I was debating on with two guys, and one of them was the other running back, Tariq Cohen, but I'm going to go, it's not really off script, but it's a guy that we haven't seen in a very, very long time, Mr. Kyle Long. Whoa. I want to give him some props. I think, there you go. The you know, it was almost a year since we've been without Kyle Long on the football field, and it's been such a crazy off season. And we know how long the NFL off season drags on without us having football. And I really think the longer it went on, I think a lot of fans, not all of them, but I think a lot of them actually started to get down on Kyle Long as a football player. And
totally agree, Shane. Great point.
Yeah, the injuries and everything didn't help. And let's be honest. I mean, I love Kyle Long, but he's a bit of a different character on Twitter. He lets a lot of stuff bother him. But, you know, for him to come back from such a major injury and you hear about, you know, what his leg looked like and the muscle atrophy and everything that he was going through just to get back onto the field and then suffered a setback in training camp. He's another one of those guys, like I said, I mentioned way back when we saw Mitch Trubisky come into the game, where you just feel it when they're on the field. You know, Olin Krutz sent out a tweet today, and he said, "Why do we need Kyle Long on the field? This is why."
Mm-hmm.
And it showed I forget the linebacker that it was from Pittsburgh, but he laid on top of Jordan Howard and was kind of like, you know, pushing him down a little bit more than he needed to. All of a sudden, you just see number 75 reach down, and he stiff arms the linebacker and pushes him back 6 or 7 yards, like, fuck out of here. This is, you know, get off my guy and don't come back. And, you know, the linebacker looked at him and he didn't even make an attempt to come towards Kyle Long because he knows that Kyle Long was just going to probably whoop his ass. But
you don't understand. I ain't scared of you motherfuckers.
You know, Kyle Long for his first game back, and I don't agree with all of the philosophy of this coaching staff just flip-flopping this guy constantly and, you know, the right tackle, right guard, left guard, Paul, you're not there. This guy's here, so we're going to put you back to right guard. All of that. I thought Kyle Long played a fantastic game. Yes, he's got to clean up on some stuff. He said even at one point that he didn't even know if he's going to be able to make it through the entire game. But it goes back to Phil's bear up, Jordan Howard. He made the same comment because he was in a lot of pain. But they do it together. They're becoming a close-knit team, and this is what we haven't seen with the Chicago Bears team. You know, Kyle Long made the comment this week how different the Bears locker room is since he was a rookie. And I think it's these little things that are just going to start to culminate, and I think it's going to I really do. I think it's going to pay off. So I want to give Kyle Long a lot of props for coming back and with his first game back, I couldn't have been any happier with the way that he performed. And I think that bears what we saw on the field with the running game, because for the Chicago Bears to put up all those rushing yards against the vaunted Pittsburgh Steelers defense, granted they were without a couple of their big guns, but still, I think it's a testament to Kyle Long and his playing ability.
Total attitude adjustment, Aldo. You could see it, that offensive line, as we talked about last night, just fired off the ball and really were the impetus of what Shane said, Jordan Howard getting to it. And it was so impressive to see Kyle Long, that leadership and that attitude. And you really had, you know, a couple flip-flops during the game that, you know, and they still did. Bradley Soule was somebody I was, you know, going to talk about, you know, going into guard, Shane. And really, the guy's a right tackle, and I was high on the guy watching him in the preseason. But, you know, having Kyle in there really settling this down and really helping the whole unit out. We always talk about cohesiveness and winning up front, but there was really a different attitude in watching them fire off the ball, and that was real positive to see.
Kyle Long, you are Shane Marsaw's Bear Up Player of the Week. That's a very popular choice there, Kyle. Shane. All right, now we got to go to the bad stuff. We got to go to the stuff that we're just kind of ashamed about, but we have to do it. We've got to point out the players who are on the down list. And we're going to begin again with Draft Dr. Phil Atoshin. Who is your Bear Down Player of the Week?
Well, this is very easy to me.
No!
In the history of me watching Chicago Bear football, I've seen some pathetic quarterback play in my life.
No! God!
I've never witnessed a quarterback throw one reception to a wide receiver.
No! God,
and have
please,
them win
no!
the football
no!
game because of it.
No!
I thought Mike Lennon was atrocious.
No!
He was a disease out there. He hinders and handicaps you. No matter what you think you know
God!
About football, I'm willing to go toe-to-toe and stand with you, because I don't stand or tolerate for selling me that he was good enough. If good enough was that, then I don't know where you're going with this franchise's future, because it ain't going to be the ultimate goal. That's winning football games and getting to the Super Bowl. Mike Glennon was erratic. He was the same Mike Lennon we've seen for 3 weeks. It hasn't gotten better. In fact, I think it's getting worse. I think he's falling and caving to the outside noise and the pressure. And if you don't think it is, you're not watching the game, because I have my bear down of the week is this team won the game despite their quarterback, and everybody in that locker room, including the whole front office and coaching staff, knows that's the truth. I'm not going to let our fan base, this show, ever succumb to a lie. This Mike Glennon, you are the bear down of the week.
No,
get your
God,
shit together.
Please, no,
have
no.
some fucking balls and go into Green Bay and show somebody that you are an actual NFL quarterback. Because right now you couldn't start on a Division IV football team in the freaking, I don't even know where. It's that bad. I don't know what they're selling, but it ain't good there. It's awful. And it really is a detriment to this football team.
Draft Dr. Phil, keeping it 100.
That guy loves you, man. He loves the way you bring it.
I love him.
I just like to say, fuck you, Mike Glennon. That's about all I got.
Mike Glennon, you are Phil Atoshin's Bear Down Player, Bear Down, Bear Awful, Bear Suck, Bear Fuck You Player of the Week. They hate you, Mike. I'm sorry, bro. They hate you. All right, now we move on to the smartest man in the bar room. Who is your Bear Down Player?
My bear down. And this is a little bit different approach.
No!
The guy had one of the dumbest fucking plays I've ever seen in my 41 years on this earth.
No!
Marcus Cooper.
No! God, please, no! No!
I don't give a shit if you played good on defense, and yes, you made some plays, and you bounced back, and yes, you almost had an interception, but Jesus Christ. You can't... You're on the Chicago Bears team, and we hear everybody say that this margin for error is completely razor thin. We had a chance, guys, to blow this fucking game wide open.
Mm-hmm.
Heading in to halftime and coming out with the fucking ball. What would have been, what, 24 to 7?
Oh, God!
A half if he scores that? Am I right there?
That's correct.
Or what? Yeah. And it just, it pissed me off, you know, immediately, and I probably overreacted. I tweeted to Marcus Cooper. And
no, God!
Kind of spouted off to him just because I lost my cool a little bit. But, you know, it's just such a me play, and that's what drives me even more crazy. It's he gets that attitude of slowing down right before the end zone because he wants everybody to focus in on him. Well, guess what, Marcus? You were running back a blocked kick. Everybody was fucking looking at you anyway, you dope. Jesus Christ. The whole fucking stadium was. Just run it into the fucking end zone. And to make things worse, had a pick six against Jameis Winston last year in Arizona, and he did the same fucking thing, guys. He had nobody around. He got just about to the end zone and about the 2 or 3 yard line. He completely throttled down, and he did get into the end zone on this one. But that's obviously his move. That's the way that he likes to celebrate, and that's his thing. And, you know, he gave the bullshit excuse at the post game that, you know, I thought I was in the end zone. And it pissed me off, too, with the Chicago media, because they kind of gave the guy a pass with it. They didn't really press the subject too much, you know, with him. And just, he said, well, I thought I was in the end zone. They kind of just accepted it and moved on. You know, at least he bounced back, and hopefully John Fox and Vic Fangio talked to him. And I hope they made, coach's film of that. And I hope they showed the entire team. We talked about that a little bit, after the fact, guys, that, you know, you want to kind of put him on blast in front of the whole fucking team. And you do, you want to embarrass him because it's completely unacceptable. Like I said, you have a young team. This is one of the guys that Ryan Pace actually invested money into in with multiple years. He doesn't do that a whole lot in free agency. With Marcus Cooper, he did. And so that's going to make these young DBs on the roster look up to this guy just because the contract says that, you know, somebody respects this guy. So we got to look up to him. And just a total me play. And it otherwise he played a good game. He made some plays on the ball, but it ruined it for me. And it really makes me question Marcus Cooper overall, just not really as a player, but where his head is in this entire thing. And hopefully he learns from it. He's still a young guy, and like I said, he did make some plays on the field, but that's totally unacceptable. And if it happens again, I think you have a large, large problem on your hand.
You know,
where I think you have to send a message.
You know what the funny thing is that, you know, the NFL is allowing touchdown celebrations, and that's the best that he could come up with to start walking in, you know, and just looking like an idiot. That's just awful. And I got to tell you, as you're talking, Shane, our girl here, she's just going nuts, man.
Shane, you're so nutty.
You really turn around when you talk nasty like that, man.
Yeah, was that her? That sounded a little bit like Phil.
Oh, man. All right. So, officially, we have our bear down player, Shane Marsaw, has selected Marcus Cooper. Marcus, you heard it at Soldier Field. We'll play it again for you here. you, Marcus. They want your ass, Marcus. All right, fellas. Let's talk a little bit about the Green Bay Packers. Fangio was asked about playing against Aaron Rodgers, and he's given it a lot of thought. This is the the fifth time that he would have faced Aaron, correct?
Correct, yeah, year three.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, I'm just trying to kill time while I was finding my soundbite.
No, God! No! God!
This is what Fangio said when he was asked about what he tells his defensive lineman to do when rushing Aaron Rodgers, who is so effective scrambling out of the pocket, particularly to his right, creating time for his receivers to get open.
They have to be able to rush the passer and contain him at the level of the quarterback. Can't get too high, can't get too low. And we need good even rush when you're playing a quarterback with this type of abilities.
That is going to be a key to this matchup, is putting pressure on Rodgers, but at the same time trying to keep him in the pocket, not letting him get outside the pocket to create time, because these receivers have a history, with the exception of Jordy Nelson, of not being great at creating separation on their pass routes. And if we can put pressure on him in the pocket, then that's going to be a big win for the Bears. Phil, what do you think about what the Bears have to do on defense in order to contain Aaron Rodgers in this Packers offense?
Well, Leonard Floyd needs to come ready to play and be sound in his technique and his effort. I've seen last 2 weeks Leonard being caught on tape loafing a little bit when plays away. This guy has all the talent in the world. But right now, I'm not seeing him win. There's a play that I'll put up. He's going one-on-one against the tight end, and the tight end's manhandling him. That's not what I expect out of a guy coming back and trying to improve. His effort, to me, is in the question. Now, whether he's mentally trying to overcome a hurdle because he needs to get that first sack or whatever it is, I talked about it last night. He came clean on another play, and he totally jumped into the air. He's going to be that guy that can close. And when Aaron drifts out of that pocket and looks to escape, you need that speed defensive end. You know, Willie Young comes in with power, and he can get it with length and kind of close the pocket. But when Aaron releases and gets free from pressure, that chase guy is so important, and effort is going to be the calling card on the menu, because you are going to have to give chase and force him to be off time. Because if you allow him to set up, hitch, and do the crow step and throw, he's going to drop that ball into areas where your defensive backs are going to be in real danger of allowing a huge play to happen. We've seen it so many times. The guy is great at doing that. So Leonard Floyd is going to be a key cog in this game when it comes to that outside the pocket, as the reporter was asking. How they're going to do this, you know, Akeem Hicks has given us a lot of snaps. I'll be interested in seeing how many at defensive end where he's standing up on 2 feet and then he's allowing himself to come in athletically. He seems to win a lot of those matchups too. I hope we see a little bit of that on Rodgers' front side and force, you know, Leonard Floyd to be on that backside and beat that tackle, because they have some banged up offensive linemen. I guess there were some tryouts for the offensive tackle position, and on a short week with this, if they have to put a new tackle in there or move a guard out there, you really have to win those matchups. And if they're going to overcompensate and chip and try to keep people, that even explains it even more. You're going to have to win those matchups and get that pass rush going. Going to have to use McPhee also, Aldo, a lot more than they have. McPhee got home. Willie Young got home. And they're really going to have to use it more and go after Aaron frustrate him at his legs. He doesn't like to be touched. He's always complaining. He's always yelling at his offensive coordinator. He's doing everything that another quarterback used to get crucified for. But, you know, winning is the remedy for all evils. So you got to get after this guy. And I think the Chicago Bears, we talked about it, me and Shane, getting aggressive on third down after Big Ben. They're going to have to do the same thing on Rodgers. Get those defensive backs that you paid all that money to. Let them isolate in man. Play some two-man. Send the linebackers in the A-gaps. Make Aaron try to get out of the pocket and use that speed to really get after him and frustrate him from doing anything that he's comfortable in doing.
Yeah, I don't know if that's even going to be necessary because, as you mentioned, the offensive tackles are injured. David Bakhtiari, the left tackle, is probably a no-go. Brian Bulaga, the right tackle, is probably a no-go. Murphy, I think there's I forgot his first name, his second-year tackle, he got injured.
Spriggs.
Spriggs has been moved into the guard position because he wasn't playing well at the tackle position. So he might actually end up playing the left tackle position, and so he's going to be red meat for all of these edge rushers for the Bears. I want to play a soundbite regarding Leonard Floyd, because Vic Fangio was asked whether he was concerned about the lack of sacks on the part of Leonard Floyd.
You know, in the first game, we dropped him a lot. You know, they were throwing the ball very quick, so we wanted him in coverage. That happened some, a fair amount this past week also. So I do think it's more a product of the games we've played so far. I do think he can rush better with his opportunities that he has had, but I don't see it as an epidemic yet.
So Shane Fangio saying that he's not super concerned about the lack of sack totals by Leonard Floyd. I want to get your take on his play and on what the Bears defense has to do to beat Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah, it's, you know, our last show there, although when you brought it up, when I was kind of calling out Vic Fangio and Phil kind of alluded to it, you know, being a little bit more aggressive on third down. And, you know, Leonard Floyd is the guy for that. And I just want to, he hasn't, like you said, we know that he hasn't gotten through. But it's all going to be on Leonard Floyd, and we all know, we're all football fans, we know how this goes. It just takes one. These things come in bunches, and I mean, we saw that last year with Leonard Floyd versus Green Bay. You know, he had a two-sack game. He had the strip sack, and then actually recovered. He got a touchdown in Green Bay last year, and it just takes one. He gets home once. Maybe you see a second. Maybe you see a third. And I'm glad Phil brought up Pernell McPhee, because I'm not 100% positive, but I'm pretty sure the game last year in Lambeau was Pernell McPhee's first game back off of the PUP.
Mm-hmm.
And he was, I want to say maybe he played, he was extremely limited snaps. And he's going to be the type of guy, not saying that he's completely healthy right now, but he's going to be the type of guy that is going to be an X factor, and he's going to be a guy, and we've seen it last year, even when he wasn't on the field so much. He was a guy that was on the field, I think, for just about every one of Leonard Floyd's seven sacks that he had in 2016. And that sack that Pernell McPhee had against Big Ben this past Sunday, that was extremely impressive to me. I'm sure Phil can chime in on it if he wants to. You know, just the way he got that bend, he got really, really low, and the guy's a load, and he's really been a pleasant surprise to me. I don't want to say that I kind of wrote Pernell McPhee off totally, but he's really been a pleasant surprise to me with how he has rebounded from his injuries and not having any training camp. But yeah, with Floyd, I'm kind of on the wagon with what Fangio said. It is a bit of a concern, but you're not raising the warning flag quite yet, because he's still a young player, and it just takes one. and you can see those floodgates open. But I want to do throw one more thing out there that does give me pause, and it gives me extreme pause with an elite quarterback like Aaron Rodgers. And it seems like we hear about this all the time, is that the Bears, and you even alluded to it yourself, Aldo, that there should be some red meat at the offensive tackle position. But it seems like with the Chicago Bears, there's been so many games over the years when they've went into a game with some momentum and there's been injuries on the other team's offensive line, and they said the Chicago Bears, you know, they're going to have to focus on that, and they're going to have to eat. They're going to make the quarterback's life hell. They're going to put so much pressure on them. And then it comes to game time, and the friggin' ragtag group of offensive linemen end up shutting our guys down. So that's the big scare that I have in the back of my head heading into Thursday night, because, again, to get back to this razor-thin margin, it's going to – we all know, guys, it's going to come on to our defense. And again, we got to get a short field. We got to get a cheap touchdown, which we almost had last week. Thank you, Marcus Cooper. But it's going to come back to this defense. And you guys refer to me as the smartest man in the room. I think Pernell McPhee is going to be an X factor, and I think he's going to be a reason that Leonard Floyd could possibly get going, and I think he's going to make some hay himself. But this offensive line, I'm just not buying into the fact that they're going to completely struggle against the Chicago Bears, because I think we've been bitten by that dog one too many times, just expecting it, and then when the lights go on, that it doesn't happen.
Now, Ty Montgomery really burnt the Chicago Bears at Soldier Field last year. The Bears' rush defense has been playing well this season. They're giving up 83 yards per game. The longest rush that they've given is only a 14-yarder, but they have given up three rushing touchdowns, so that's a little bit of a concern. Now, Fangio was asked about Ty Montgomery at today's press conference. This is what he said.
And a good running back. He's got good size. You know, he's a 220-pound guy. He was really a running back trying to play receiver. And now I think he's back to his natural position. And he's gotten better and better. You can just, you know, he knows what to do more. He's running with more confidence, making better good cuts. You know, he carved this up pretty good last year in the second game.
Now, Phil, you know, the old axiom in football is you start by stopping the run, that's the most important thing. And the Bears have been kind of living by that motto this year with their defense. Do you think that you go in with that mentality when you're playing a guy like Aaron Rodgers?
Yeah, you really do have to, because it's when someone's as accurate as Aaron and can move as well as he can, you see where I'm going with this?
Sure.
You have a running game that's slicing you. Now linebackers and the secondary start inching up to try to stop the run, and that's when the big plays go over the top. And when you have someone who's athletic as Aaron Rodgers, who can move and boot action, you know, the same things you want to see out of an actual quarterback under center, a franchise quarterback. So everything that Mitchell Trubisky we've been arguing about, putting him in there and being able to move the pocket, Rodgers is proficient at. And when you get the running game going, it's going to open up everything in the arsenal. So you really have to, like, force them into predetermined downs where you know they're going to throw. This way you're able to do what it is that you want to do and use the matchups, as Shane said. I thought he made a great point. I know exactly what he's talking about. Well, the Seahawks are down to their third-string tackle. The third-string tackle plays like a Pro Bowler against our best rusher. That can't happen. You have to scheme it to take advantage of it. And unfortunately, we haven't been able to do that in the past. Putting them in predictable down and distance by stopping the run and forcing Aaron Rodgers to stay in the pocket and deliver accurate balls is going to be able to get that pass rush after him. So as most of these things that we talk about, it all starts up front. You know, defense wins championships. All those things you kind of hear. What do they call those? I don't know why it's escaped me.
Sayings, what models, maxims, axioms, proverbs. Yeah.
all those sayings. It'll come to me later. Someone's going to tweet about this. So
cliches.
All those cliches. Thank you. Are actually true, and they come for a reason. Thank you, Aldo. They have decidedly rose to the top so many times in this great game that there's truth to it. And the Bears have to go in there and stop 88. They got to go after that kid. I mean, they've been doing a great job. I was shocked. One thing, you know, first play on defense, it's Danny Trevathan and John Timu straight up from the practice squad starting out. That kind of shocked me against Pittsburgh. So it's going to be interested in seeing how they, you know, use their linebackers this game. You did see a lot of Christian Jones and Timu in there. So got to make those run fits, got to force them into predictable down and distances so you can do what it is and get out after that quarterback, Aldo.
Very good. We'll talk a little bit more about the Packers game and get some predictions from you guys after we do the following.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, it's that beautiful time in the show, your favorite moment each and every week, where we go through the mail, find the mailman, the smartest man in the room, and he's going to deliver his tweets of the week. The dumbest tweets and the best tweets. Shane Marsaw's dumbest tweets of the week.
Damn, that was good, Phil. You timed it out perfectly to the music.
I was trying. I can't even hear the music, to be honest.
You got to be good at something, Phil.
All right, Shane Marsaw, I know you have been spending hours upon hours looking for these bad tweets.
Yeah. Got about 7 minutes invested in this tonight, Al. I'm not going to lie.
No, he's disappointing us, Al, though. He should be scouring the ER. He should have been looking for dumb tweets.
I was too busy listening to two crazy men talk on Bears Hour Live while I was funneling them information, trying not to get in trouble.
Oh yeah, you were. That was the best job of producing I've seen in my 35 years in this business. Very nice.
There you go. So unfortunately, they're not. It's nothing too exciting, and we actually covered both of them in our previous segments here on Bears 100 Proof, but I'm going to give number one to our favorite football team, Chicago Bears, at Chicago Bears. Tweeted out today, Bears offensive coordinator praises Glennon for performance and victory over Steelers.
Unbelievable.
This is the charter franchise of the NFL, and this is just essentially a great big huge fuck you to the fan base.
Now,
I mean,
can you please read that one more time?
Yes, it's at Chicago Bears.
He tweeted.
Shit. Oh, hold on a second.
One more time, Shane.
Swing and a miss.
Where's Dustin on the board?
Yeah, Dustin, I need you badly, brother.
Oh my God, he's probably checking Jay Sugar down in Miami right now.
Read that one again, Shane. At Chicago Bears. Dumbest tweet of the week, folks. Shane Marsaw.
Yes, at Chicago Bears. They said hashtag offense Bears. Offensive coordinator praises Mike Glennon for performance in victory over Steelers.
He tweeted.
Like I said.
You stepped on it.
You step, not step on that shit.
So many women, so little time, guys. They're just all over me here.
All right, so you got another one for us?
Well, let me say that. One quick reaction to that. The coaching staff, the front office, the players are being coached to carry on this baton of Glennon. I don't know where we're going to go with this guy's nickname. This franchise is trying, as Shane said, to sell this fan base that Mike Glennon actually had something to do with this win.
No,
and that
God!
Is the most disgusting job done by this. And we've ridiculed that website because they have all the access in the world and all the technology and virtual reality and everything they could possibly do, and they just come out with the crappiest shit you ever see.
Think about it. They're praising Mike Glennon after your franchise running back was a complete warrior out there, almost had to come out of the game two or three times, had a walk-off touchdown for you against the vaunted Pittsburgh Steelers, and they're making Mike Glennon the focus of their tweet in the win over the Steelers. It's just, it's not Lunch with Larry bad, but it's pretty fucking bad nonetheless. And
because you love him, and I love him, and Aldo loves him, and you love this part of the show, it's the dumbest tweets of the week, sponsored by the Bears Barroom. And here he is to give you his number two dumbest tweet of the week, Shane, the smartest man in the room, Marsaw.
There, you did it again, Phil. That was beautiful.
Absolutely. So my number two dumbest tweet of the week, and I gotta say this one with a little bit of caution because the person that tweeted this out, it's not actually their words, but we're seeing this narrative being built on Twitter tonight, and at Rich Campbell. Everybody knows who he is, and we actually... Exactly. That's probably about the smartest thing he said in a long time right there. But we're seeing this narrative, being born in front of our eyes tonight, and Rich tweeted out a quote saying, Packers quarterback Aaron Rodgers shared good insight with Bears media today about sitting to begin his career and saying that it was the best thing that ever happened to me. Well, that's fantastic, Rich, and I'm glad you shared that with the masses because we know what he's alluding to with this, and I'm sure Mr. Campbell would probably deny that this is where he's going, but this is all in reference to Mitch Trubisky, and it's going to fit in with the narrative of the people that are saying, we can't put this kid in, we can't rush him, why not just, piss away half the season, or maybe even the entire season, or in Jim Miller's case, the 2018 season, on Mike Glennon. But it's more of the pathetic coverage that these fans of the Chicago Bears get, and a lot of people, that's the only place that they get their information. That's what makes us, I think, should make us a little bit more important than a lot of these guys. They got to follow us and listen to us because, like Phil likes to say, we like to spit the truth and we'll tell you how it is and we're not going to back down to anything. But
I ain't scared of you motherfuckers.
This narrative that just because it worked for Aaron Rodgers that it's going to work for Mitchell Trubisky. And, guys, come on. Why did Aaron Rodgers sit? He had a fucking Hall of Fame quarterback ahead of him.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, oh, yeah. Let's not talk about that. I mean, Mitch Trubisky's got Mike Glennon ahead of him. I mean, could talk about a mountain, mountain to a molehill. It's ridiculous. But this is like Chicago is where quarterback narratives are spun. And we, like I said, we see one being born tonight. So that's my number two dumb tweet of the week. Not words from Rich Campbell, but he thought enough of it to put it out there and spin it enough so fans that read that will pick up on it and say, oh, if it worked for Aaron Rodgers, and fuck, it's going to work for Mitch Trubisky. And anybody with a brain knows that that's not the case whatsoever.
I take on Rich Campbell numerous times, and he's taken on to comment back only to show his uppityness that he's a media member and that they have access. That's his response. So, Rich Campbell, everything Shane's given you is the absolute truth. That's why we do this show, to stop the bullshit. And the funny thing is that Shane's talking about, and Aldo brought it up in last night's show. Some fans don't know, and thus they read that and they believe, well, maybe there is some method to that madness. And when you put it into perspective, you realize performance wins football games, not sitting watching somebody who's struggling to win. You don't learn like that. You don't get an opportunity to perform like that. And that's why we have this show. That's why we're so adamant about Mitchell Trubisky now. Hashtag Trubisky now, because he gives us the best chance to not only win now, but in the future. It's not going to be Mike Glenn and Jim Miller. Okay, that is just crazy town. And it's disappointing to hear that kind of stuff being spewed, because clearly there is a narrative trying to keep reminding people this. Ryan Pace traded up despite signing Mike Glennon to a big deal. Traded up, gave away ammunition in the draft, and everyone's flipping out to get this young man here because he felt like he was the future, not because he was going to be a good backup to Mike Glennon. Okay, so let's stop with waiting and the narrative. Let's talk about changing the narrative, changing the history in Chicago, changing the bullshit. Don't accept the lies. Do something different. Know that what you feel is right in your gut.
I'm smart, not like everybody says.
That you're not unsure that you're seeing piss poor play on Sunday and it's not right. You can boo this team if they continue to throw lies to you and put Mike Glennon out there as if he's giving you the best chance and the best bang for your buck, which costs a lot of money to go see these games. Do what you need to do to get the truth to the top.
You suck,
Rich Campbell.
Well, now, since we've focused on the negativity, Rich Campbell's stupid-ass writing, and many other tweets that were skipped over, now it's time to focus in on the positive tweet of the week. Because we're not going to just be bringing you negativity. We want to bring some positivity, and nobody brings it better than the smartest man in the bar room, Shane Marsaw.
Listen to that. That's 3 for 3, Phil. Good job, man.
Nailed it.
Dude, I could step up in the pocket and run this game plan. I honestly could.
I can't. Step up in the pocket. That's like watching Dowell Loggins play quarterback.
I would suit him up than Mike Glennon right now.
So, yes, my best tweet of the week actually came this afternoon. It's going to be a little bit off the football path, but it stood out to me, and it's going to be old friend of the show, Jose Cotto. @Deuce_Pesos. I think, you know, we all use football as kind of a retreat from real life, and there's times in everybody's life where, you know, we let this football thing kind of envelop us so much we kind of forget everything on the outside that's going on, and that's so easy to do. And there's been times in my life when there's, you know, coming off a bad Bears loss, and you turn on the news and you see, you know, just any number of things going on in it, and it kind of helps put things in perspective. And Jose tweeted out that he just signed a two-week commitment assisting with disaster relief in Puerto Rico. And he said he just wants everybody to know that we don't have to sit on our hands. And he's hoping to head there soon. So, excuse me, I want to give Jose a lot of props. That just really stuck out to me in these volatile times that we're in, like in today, especially with everything going on. I just want to give a huge shout out to Jose Cotto for, like he said, not sitting on his hands and making that commitment and getting up off the couch and going down there to give a helping hand and try to make a difference in the world. And just want to say props to you, Jose. That's very impressive. And you get my top tweet of the week there, brother.
And if I may add, Jose and I are both Puerto Ricans, and so we've been going through a hell of a time. I've got a niece in Puerto Rico who I have not heard if she's doing well. My aunt and her kids have not heard from them, so we don't know. And it's been a terrible few days on pins and needles, wondering if they're okay. And so, again, I applaud, too, your selection there, Shane. Jose is doing something that is not easy for most people to do, to just drop everything in their lives and take off. You've got to make some huge sacrifices. And so applauding what Jose is doing is the very least we can do. I'll have some information on tap later this week as to where people can make a donation to help with relief efforts there, because there's a very, very good chance that most of the island is going to be destroyed either permanently or for a very long time. And it's a very sad time and a very nervous time for those of us who have loved ones there that we don't know about their safety or not.
I totally am on board with this tweet of the week. It's a lot of class on his part and a lot of class on you, Shane, for diagnosing that being one of the best tweets, if obviously the best tweet of the week from an old friend. Now, Aldo, I just want to speak on your behalf, knowing, you know, you have your family there and the fear and the concerns of anybody not knowing where they are says a lot about you too, brother. All of Puerto Rico is in the Bears barrooms, prayers and thoughts and love. You know, there's a lot of actual Puerto Rican following of this show. Scar from New York, who was shouted out last night, Puerto Rico hasn't spoken to his father. I believe he just did. Got news from there. So these are serious times. Can't be overlooking all of what struggle is going on there now. In light of what's transpiring with the ignorance that's happening in our country, it's embarrassing to me. This great game of football has brought all of us together and all of you listening to this Bears Barroom 100 Proof show. And really, people are struggling out there. So I ask that you do reach into your pocket and help out, because the total devastation there is insurmountable at this point. And that was the quote I heard on the news. So it's just a sad time for this country and those citizens of this country, for you backwoods folks. Puerto Rico is part of the U.S. and it needs to be understood. Those are our brothers and sisters, and we need to help out as much as we can, just like you saw the efforts going to Houston. It's needed out there as well. So I'm glad we were able to tackle this subject too. And shout out to Jose for going out and giving his time.
All right, let's end this show hopefully on a positive note. I'm going to ask each of you to give me a forecast as to what you anticipate is going to happen Thursday night when the Chicago Bears go to Lambeau Field to take on the Green Bay Packers. Shane, may I start with you, please?
I think we're going to see a lot of the same, guys. It's there's not going to be a whole lot of pretty to it on the offensive side. I think it's going to be a lot of unfortunately, while Mike Lennon is in there, it's going to be a lot of, you know, check down, check down, check down. Maybe one deep shot, and it's unfortunately the wrong philosophy. But I'm not going to discount this defense. I'm really not. You know, you brought up that second game when Montgomery ran rampant at Soldier Field. You know, at the same time, there was no Danny Trevathan, no Jarrell Freeman. I don't think Leonard Floyd played in that game. Pernell McPhee did play. He had a couple of sacks, I believe, in that game. So get these pass rushers cranked up. Eddie Goldman was another guy that was out. Get him in there. Put some pressure on Mr. Rogers and get him going. And it's going to be, like I said, just a lot more of the same. Got to run. But at some point, guys, you got to take more than one deep shot to Marcus Wheaton. It's not a sustainable way to run your offense. It's going to destroy your best player on offense, Jordan Howard, unfortunately. But I don't know. It's to me, this is it's a statement game with a young team, prime time, coming off a short week, playing against a banged up Packers squad. You know, you give a young team like this a little bit of confidence, and it can go a long way. So I'm gonna, probably against my better judgment, I think this is gonna come down to the Bears defense making just enough plays, and Connor Barth walks us off Lambeau with a 17-14 win over the Green Bay Packers, and the Chicago Bears go into the fourth game, or they're going to head into week five at 2-2, and I don't think there's a whole lot of people that thought that at the beginning of the season. But I love this defense. I love where they're at. I love their aggression. Getting Pernell McPhee back. You got to get Leonard Floyd cranked up. Healthy Eddie Goldman. Willie Young is making an impact. I don't know. I hope that's not too much of the fanboy in me coming out, but I need it, guys. I need this win.
Yep.
There's been too much too much losing going on, and I think it would do all Chicago Bears fans a lot of good to stick one of them to the Green Bay Packers and get this defense going even more.
Yep. And I just went back and looked at the box score from that game at Soldier Field last year that the Bears lost 30-27. I see that Cravon LeBlanc led the team in tackles, which is never a good sign. John Timo was second with six tackles, two tackles for a loss. And then a little bit down further on the list is Pernell McPhee. He did play, had three tackles, and all three of them were for a loss and two sacks. So hopefully Pernell will have another big game. And Ty Montgomery did run like crazy, 162 yards, two touchdowns, but the Bears did contain Aaron Rodgers. He only threw for 250 yards, no touchdowns, and was sacked four times. So, Phil, let us know your thoughts, and we'll bid everybody farewell.
Yeah, I look at this. I dubbed the Pittsburgh Steeler game the miracle game, because I don't think you can write a movie script to what needed to transpire in that game for the Chicago Bears to come out victorious on the backs of Jordan Howard and Tariq Cohen. It was just looking at the tape as we're talking on the show, it's just unbelievable how much they gave to get that victory despite their quarterback. I'm right there. I'm on twofold. I said you can't be conservative. They could be talking in the media just like Ryan Pace did for months, playing this game in order to get an advantage and put the young kid out there and give him his shot as an NFL quarterback should. It doesn't matter. We saw Deshaun Watson go against the defending Super Bowl champions with the greatest football player to ever play the quarterback position, and Tom Brady go battle down there and learn as you take your lumps and play the game. That's what championship coaching, that's what championship teams try to do to get there. You got to play your best. So the Bears could be pulling the Ryan Pace backdoor meetings with, you know, this young man meant something. Here's your division rival. If that young man walks out the tunnel, I believe the Chicago Bears are going to come away with a victory. I really believe that because I think they have all the necessary parts to be a contender, Aldo. They have all the parts. The defense, if the defensive front seven, even with the injury to Freeman, I really thought Danny Trevathan played a whale of a football game, really not talked about. I thought he did well. Thought the other parts mixed in. Thought Kyle Fuller, again, stepping up. He almost had a pick. Obviously, Cooper. This defense has a lot to offer this team. They really are balling out there. They shut down one of the high-power, high-flying offenses with arguably one of the best running backs, and I think he is the best wide receiver in the NFL, Antonio Brown. They were able to stifle them, shut it down. And what's to say they can't do that against Green Bay with a banged up? There's nothing. So I'm totally on board with Shane. I do think Mike Glennon in Lambeau is not a remedy for success. If Mike plays, I hate to be the spoiler here, but I really don't think you can repeat what you got. I would love to eat crow, but I just don't see the ability to just come in with that kind of game plan where it's good enough to win with him playing like he did. So if they come out with Trubisky, I think Trubisky is going to showcase the kind of talent that we've talked about. In fact, I'm 100% sure of it. Call me ignorant, call me whatever you want. I just know what accuracy and athleticism does to a defense, and Aaron Rodgers does that to the Bears. So our defense is going to have to be, it's never over until the whistle blows with Aaron Rodgers. With Mike Glennon, everything's going to have to be perfect, and I just don't see it. So I'm going to give you two answers. If they surprise us and on Thursday night all of a sudden Trubisky's in, I'm going to say the Chicago Bears win 24-17. But if Mike Glennon's out there, I think the Packers are going to load up the box, confuse Glennon with multiple different fronts and looks. Crowd is going to be booing, and it's going to be a disappointing night, and the Packers are going to end up being victorious 27-10. Green Bay over Chicago with Mike Glennon.
Wow, you really fucked up my night, dude.
Hey, but look at it this way. If that happens, that second scenario, Phil, week five, we're probably definitely getting Trubisky on Monday Night Football versus Minnesota.
I'm so glad the smartest man in the room is here, because Aldo could have taken us down with Phil's disappointing prognostication. But Shane, actually, I want to say this for the record, and I don't know what this means, but I don't know if the two of you are on the same page. And maybe some of you out there listening could chime in. I'd appreciate it. But I honestly have never felt this way in a football season with my Chicago Bears. And I was telling my wife, I'd have this morning nervousness, and I get get my jersey laid out, my hat, what am I going to wear? Shane's texting me, jersey today? I've not got one of those texts, by the way, Shane.
No, I'm right there with you, man.
I feel like it's time to move this fucker out and really get into the season with what you decided to make your franchise quarterback with, that you're just totally placating to try to save face on a lot of money spent. It's almost so disappointing that my expectation is the worst when it comes to this football player starting for your football team. You're on the same page?
Yeah, I really am. I'm a 41-year-old dude, and I get up in the morning, and I'm superstitious. I'd have to do everything in a specific way. Yeah, shower, shit, and shave, absolutely, as soon as you wake up. But, yeah, no, I know exactly what you're talking about, Phil. It's just I love to watch. I don't want to miss the games. I love to watch the games, but you just lose so much of that mojo just because of one player. With mm-hmm. Mike Glennon, it just makes it. It doesn't make it. It's not that it makes it hard to watch the rest of the team, but it's just you know, you really know where it's going with Mike Glennon, and it's
right.
Just, there's no upside, and you're spinning in the mud, and it does. It takes a little bit of the excitement away from it. You know, I kind of refer it to when people started tweeting out who the draft picks are going to be. You know, 6 and 7 picks ahead of television, you kind of,
yeah.
You know, you wait all year and you kind of lose that excitement of the pick. But, yeah, no, I'm right there with you. I mean, I used to look at the clock every 3 minutes and I'm like, come on, is it 1 o'clock yet? Is it 1 o'clock yet? And it's, you know, 6:30 in the morning. And now I just, I find myself busy right up until, you know, 2 or 3 minutes before kickoff. And then I go fire up the TV and get everything set and go. But yeah, no, I know exactly what you mean, and this goes back to what we said a couple of months ago. At this point, it's Mitch Trubisky changes that as soon as he steps over mm-hmm. the white lines as the starting quarterback for the Chicago Bears. He's Devin Hester times two because he's a quarterback. He's Tariq Cohen. You know, mm-hmm. he's the, just imagine putting a potential playmaker in the backfield with Tariq Cohen and Jordan Howard. Just think of it that way. You have three guys behind your good offensive line that can make plays back there.
Think of those guys were locked hand and arm in arm when they played the national anthem. I sent it to Aldo, the picture. Yeah. Hopefully we could put it up at the bar room because, Shane, you're speaking my language. It's not, I love this game. I live for it. Anybody who knows me knows about the Bears. Half my wardrobe, actually way over half my wardrobe, as my wife says, is Chicago. But there's just this flat line, this no great expectation. It's just, I'm going to watch and hope for the best with this guy. And I didn't feel like that with Matt Barkley, Brian Hoyer, or other quarterbacks from the past, but there's just this flatline expectation of when are you going to do it? When are you going to hashtag Trubisky now? What a great coach would this be, a story to put him out there against your rival and go to town, run your offense, make them defend you. And just like Shane said, those weapons, Cohen, Howard, Trubisky, now all of a sudden the tight ends are being involved. It just makes too much sense if winning is the most important thing, and the letdown will be the typical Chicago Bears. You know, you waited a week later to do it against when it's most important.
It ignites the fan base. It's going to ignite the players. It's going to ignite the defense. And you have a young, emerging defense and some playmakers on offense, and you add a quarterback to that, who knows what happens. I'm not talking Super Bowl or anything like that, but I think it can turn around your season pretty quickly.
Absolutely.
Now I want to change my prediction, though, because if the fucking Bears win, then we're going to get another week of Mike Glennon, so scrap that. Scrap that. I'm going to say 34-0 Green Bay.
Well, I got to tell you guys, first before I say my little closing speech here and bid everybody farewell, I want to apologize to the half dozen people. Actually, it's more like a dozen people whose Twitter questions we did not get to. What we'll try to do is just send a response to you guys via Twitter. I apologize. This the time got away from us. And just to close the show, I just want to hearken back to the words of Bluto from Animal House, because I'm listening to you guys, you know, and you've got this kind of this negative outlook on the game, and I'm gonna paraphrase Bluto and say, we're not gonna lose. It's not over. Nothing is over until we decide it is. Was it over when the Germans bombed Pearl Harbor? Hell no! What the fuck happened to the Bears barroom that I know? Where's the spirit? Where's the guts? This could be the greatest Thursday night game of our lives, but you're gonna let it be the worst with your negative attitude because of Mike Lennon? Oh, Mike Lennon is gonna ruin it for us. No, fellas, he's not. Because what's going to happen is Mitch Trubisky is going to enter the game in the second half in front of a national audience. He's going to stage one of the greatest comebacks in NFL history. He's going to take this team from three touchdowns down to a two-touchdown win. And it's going to be the start of a new era. Trubisky now. All right, everyone. Thanks for sticking with us. Our show went really long today, but hopefully you enjoyed it. And we will always sign off as we do usually, which is if you drink, please don't drive, and always bear down.
Bear down.
Run to the end zone, Cooper, you fucking asshole.
Mike Glennon, finish out your action pass. Trust the pocket. Deliver the ball downfield. It's 2017.
Nice job, fellas.
Hey, well, this fun.
I had to get Jose that shout out about Puerto Rico, so that everybody can forget about him having Jonathan Bullard, number 6 overall in the draft a couple years ago.
I bet you if he was here, he'd still defend that pick. Oh, man, I got to get a hold of my man before he heads out to the island. Hey, Shane, you said you wanted to be in bed by 10:30. We're about 35 minutes past your bedtime.
That was me.
That's all right. You kept me up.
Excellent.
Well, for the greater good.
Phil, you better get going. Your mother-in-law's going to ground you.
Exactly. Hey, shout out to Michael Byrne and Rad Chaz Robertson.
Oh, yeah.
How about my boy Tony T-Sip31, Sandy Tom across the pond? These guys are loyal listeners. Robin Smith, new big follower, shout out to her.
Yeah, baby.
George T. Ray, I love that guy. Chris Armstrong, Zach Cycle, Bob Burkhart. These guys bring it every week supporting the Bears Barroom, Aldo.
They are ambassadors of the barroom.
Absolutely. Everybody brings it except for Dustin.
Dustin, you gotta come on the show and put on the verbal fisticuffs with Shane.
Oh, he'll lose.
Oh, yeah. Bring him on. One other shout-out, though, quick. This guy, Ed Yekaki III, survived cancer 3 times. Mm-hmm. He's battled cancer.
Jesus and Christ.
He's came out of it clean, free. He's so tired of the Mike Glennon stuff. He's a big Trubisky Now guy. Love him. All the best, Ed, in your recovery. We're so happy you follow us and support us, brother.
All right.
Here.
I am out of here. I am going
to boys.
Take this dog for a walk. I wish I had a marijuana cigarette. I could really use one right now.
Hey, make sure you get this up so I don't get 50 DMs. Where's the podcast?
I can handle things. I'm smart. Not like everybody says.